All right, as we get into this morning, I have a question for you. On the handouts that you have, the very top line says, who do you identify with in the Christmas story? Now, most of you, maybe all of you know the Christmas story, and there's some main characters in there. You know, there's the angel who came, all the angels who came and proclaimed the good news, and there was the wise men, or the magi, or the stargazers, whatever you want to call them. They came and they visited, and there's King Herod. Maybe you identify with King Herod. Maybe it's Mary and Joseph. But if you could, who do you identify with? See, most people identify with the shepherds. Today we're going to talk about the shepherds, the night shift shepherds. Can you imagine, can you just picture, we are 1 week away from spring. We've been 9 weeks in the book of Luke, going through this Christmas, this Advent scripture. And what I've been trying to do is make it so it's not Christmas. It's not always been easy. But today we kind of wrap up this Christmas story in the middle of March. As we wrap this up, and we'll be looking at Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And if you have your Bibles, you can follow along in there. Aaron will pop them up above for us. As we talk about the shepherds, our text reads like this. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Our text, it takes place in the middle of the night. And some people would say that our world is also in the middle of night, is in the middle of darkness. See, we face uncertainty in our country. We face uncertainty in the political world, the world around us. We face uncertainty in our economic world, our religious world. Some of you may even be facing uncertainty in your own personal world. And that leaves people in a state of darkness. It is night. And just as it was night in our text, it's night in our world today. The deep darkness of night in our text, back some 2,000 years ago, it was interrupted by the sound of angels singing. This band of angels is singing to the glory of God. They tell a group of shepherds to fear not. What a wonderful message when we can put ourselves in the place of the shepherds. See, they are the ones that receive the good tidings of great joy. They are the ones that have the privilege of hearing the angels speak and sing. The question is, why did God, in all of his sovereignty, choose them rather than royalty, or maybe even merchants, but some night shift shepherds? So let's examine these shepherds, and perhaps we can discover the qualities that God saw in them. Why does God announce the birth to the shepherds? Who does he invite to come and see this new baby? A ragtag collection of sheep herders. See, there is only one announcement of Christ's birth that is reported in all the scriptures. Only one invitation goes out from God for anyone to come and visit Mary and Joseph and the infant Jesus. And that one invitation, it goes out to a bunch of uneducated, smelly, low class, religious and social outcasts, a bunch of shepherds. So let me tell you a little bit about the shepherds right now. They were the last people that you would expect God to take notice of. First of all, they were religious outcasts. See, according to Jewish religious law, these men were unclean. Their line of work prevented them from participating in the feasts and the holy days that made up the Jewish religious calendar. Why? Well, somebody had to be watching the sheep, had to be watching the flock. When everyone else was making their way to Jerusalem to make a sacrifice at the temple, or they were on their way to participate in many of the annual feasts that would take place, these shepherds, they were out in the fields, watching over the sheep. A modern day example might be a trucker, or maybe a shift worker. Somebody whose job keeps them from attending church regularly. See, it wasn't their fault, but they were looked down upon from a religious point of view. Whatever might have been in their heart, wherever they were at, they were not able to participate fully in the religious life of the community. But not only were these shepherds religious outcasts, they were borderline social outcasts. Since they were constantly on the move to try to find new pasture for their flock, they were looked down upon with suspicion. Kind of the way today, people might look at gypsies or carnival workers, or maybe even in our own community on some of these street people. They were often accused of being thieves. You know, if something came up missing, you know, it must have been those shepherds. You know that they were not permitted to give testimony in legal proceedings because their word wasn't considered trustworthy. And on top of all of that, they really didn't have much contact with other people. Most of the time, they were, as our text put it, living out in the fields. See, this was not a 40-hour-a-week job. They didn't get to go home at night. They were with their sheep 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. During the day, they led the sheep to grass and water. They watched the sheep while they grazed. They kept an eye out for predators like wolves. And at night, they actually slept with the sheep in the pen to guard against animal attack. A good shepherd could identify each and every one of his sheep by sight. You see, he knew his sheep, and his sheep knew him, and they knew his voice. John chapter 10, verses 2 through 4. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all of his own, he goes on ahead of them. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. You see, being a shepherd, it was lonely, worrisome, usually very boring and tedious. Sometimes it was extremely dangerous. See, it gave them a lot of contact with sheep, but very little exposure to people. No wonder David, in the Old Testament, you know, the shepherd who became king of Israel? No wonder he was such an accomplished musician. Many shepherds, they learned to play the flute or some other instrument because they had hours and hours of nothing to do but watch sheep eat grass. Shepherds just didn't have much social contact. Put it this way, you probably wouldn't want your daughter to marry one of them. Take that picture and step back for a moment. Imagine that you are God and you want to announce the most amazing, the most incredible, the most joyous news ever. An event which will literally change the course of history. The birth of your only son, Jesus Christ. The birth of the one who will be the savior of the entire world. The one for whom the nation of Israel has been waiting and hoping and praying for thousands of years. And he has come. Who do you announce it to? Who do you tell? Who do you invite to come and see this event? Well, God announced Christ's birth to the shepherds. But maybe he chose the shepherds because God compares his relationship with us to that of a shepherd with his sheep. See, David in Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Isaiah says, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom. He shall gently lead those that are with young." Jesus is actually called the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. In fact, God often chose shepherds to lead his people. There's Moses, David. Perhaps God chose the shepherds because of their lowly status. That way, everyone would know that Jesus Christ came for all men. See, if the invitation had gone out to only the high priest or to the religious leaders, then only they would have been able to come to him. That might have left the middle class or the low class out. Perhaps another reason that God announced the birth to the shepherds is because shepherds were faithful. The shepherd, he faithfully guarded his sheep. And as I've already mentioned, at night, when the sheep were folded, when they were put in their pen, often the shepherd would sleep with the animals. They often had to be out in rough weather, had to brave the cold and the moisture and the sandstorms, all of that to take care of their flocks. When they took on the responsibility of a shepherd, they could not pick and choose the circumstances or the situations. They had to remain faithful no matter what the conditions were. They remind us of our faithful God. And we also need to be faithful. Faithful to God and faithful to those that God has entrusted to our care. So what does all this mean? Well, if you identify with the shepherds, this should be very encouraging to you. Perhaps you see yourself as kind of on the outside looking in. I imagine that on many nights, the shepherds, they sat out in the cold, lonely fields, with nothing around them but the animals to keep them company. And they could look over into the village, and they could see the lights in the houses, and they could hear the faint sound of people talking, laughing, and they just wished that they could be part of it. Maybe you felt that way too. You know, you're not one of the beautiful people, not especially wealthy or powerful or influential. You're not likely to ever see your name in the paper for some great accomplishment that you've done. You're on the fringes socially. Maybe when you compare your level of religious observance to others, the comparison isn't favorable. You know, spotty church attendance, little Bible reading, infrequent prayer. You think that if God is aware that you exist, which he probably isn't, he probably doesn't have a very favorable opinion of you anyway. You know what? There are a lot of people who deep down inside, they secretly feel like that. Even people that you might think of as having it all together, being there, having it all worked out. See, on the surface, everything is going great. Many times on Sunday mornings, we walk through that door, and we look like we got it all together. We tell people we're doing great. But on the inside, you feel like you just don't fit in. It's just miserable right now. You feel like God doesn't really care. And he couldn't care about someone like you. Now, if you've been sitting there and any of this strikes a chord with you, if any of it has kind of hit home a little bit, then I got some good news for you. Now, I got great news. I've got the best possible news there is. God loves you. It's that simple. He loves you just like he loved those shepherds. And you are special to him just like those shepherds were special to him. So special that he gave them the incredible privilege of being the very first to hear about Christ's birth. Being the first people other than Joseph and Mary to lay eyes on the Son of God. And then being the first people to be able to go and tell others about the newborn Messiah. See, he didn't give that privilege to the Roman Caesars or to the Jewish high priest. He gave it to the shepherds. Not in spite of who they were, but because of who they were. Humble, ordinary people with no high opinions of themselves. Simple people who were willing to simply believe what God told them and then to simply do what God commanded them to do. Verse 15 in our text says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. When they heard the news, they didn't seek out the religious professionals for a second opinion. They simply accepted what the angels told them. When they were invited to go to Bethlehem and see this newborn Messiah, they didn't worry about who was going to watch over their sheep. They didn't get bogged down in debates about how they were going to find this small baby in such a large town. They simply obeyed and went. Procrastination. It's one of the greatest weapons of the devil. You see, Satan has given up on trying to discredit the birth and the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's just not going to happen. So what he does is he tells an unsuspecting world that we have time. Time to do what we want. Time to get ready before Jesus comes. But you know what? We don't know how much time we have. Because of that, we need to make haste to see Jesus. We need to be in a hurry to go and see Bethlehem's King of Kings, our King of Kings, the lover of our souls. The list can go on and on. We need to make time to do that. We can't wait. The next thing is the shepherds did is they shared the good news with others. Verse 17 says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. See, part of our commission is to tell others the things that we have seen and heard. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus tells the disciples and us that we are to be witnesses of him. In our Sunday morning classroom, we're doing that. People are sharing their testimony. But you know what? We need to do it more than just in our Sunday school classroom. We need to get out and do it. Jesus, one of the last things he told his disciples before he left, was to go into all the world. We should be running and telling the good news from the mountain highs to the valley lows. We should tell everyone we know that Jesus is born. You see, from the bottom of the social ladder, God began to spread the news concerning Jesus. From the mouths of shepherds that believe the report came the testimony. We have seen a baby that was born to save us from our sins. Then finally, our text, our scripture says that they also worshiped God. Verse 20 says, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. What a wonderful way to conclude this story about some night shift shepherds. After they had made known abroad the good news, then they worshiped. After they spread the gospel, then they worship. As we begin to wrap up this morning, we, the modern church, we could take some examples, learn some lessons from these night shift shepherds. See, we get good at praising God. We get good at joining together here for an hour and a half. Last week I talked about that, and we spent some extra time in adoration. Now, don't get me wrong, that's good. Praising God is a wonderful thing, and it's a great activity to be part of. However, we are also commanded to go and witness, to share beyond these walls, so that other people can hear. Over and over again in the Scripture, we are told to spread the good news. And then after spreading that good news, we can then rejoice, not only for what God has done for us, but also for what He's done for other people. The night shift shepherds, they are a wonderful testimony of the grace of God and a wonderful example to the modern day church. And as we begin to wrap this up and stuff, I worked on this. It's not there, so you may want to write it down. You're going to have fun with this one. It's going to change the entire complexion of this service. We're getting ready to go into Spamorama. And if you take the things from the shepherds, the very first thing they did is they were willing to obey and to go. They were swiftly pursuing an awaited Messiah. Then they shared the good news with others. They were servants proclaiming an amazing message. And then they worshiped God. And they were a society praising an almighty maker. So as we wrap it up this morning, as the worship team comes up, let's go and spam the world.